We have been talking about the warfare that we're all enlisted in. Last week I gave you a word that's seldom used. It's an old word, karo, or karu. And it means ambassador. So today's message, of course, is going to be about ambassadors. And I call it frontline ambassadors. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 20. Those who need large print, it's on the screen. And so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. No one. We don't judge. Because that's a worldly view. It's not a kingdom view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. What you are, you no longer are. You may not think or feel different, but you are different. And this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, that's what he was doing when everybody was looking at Christ and couldn't figure out what was going on. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. This is our job spec. This is what we are to be doing. And we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, or karo, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Are you reconciled to God? Just because he died on the cross doesn't mean we're reconciled to God. There are areas in our lives, we have to admit, that God is trying to pry from our cold, dead fingers sin issues that we feel rather comfortable with. Reconciliation to God means I surrender. I'm reconciled to your best judgment, which is better than my own. Because he knows how to take care of us. We don't know how this is supposed to happen. The message we're charged with and are fully convinced of, or should be fully convinced of, is filled with truth. When I first got saved, and the reality of what has happened to my life, to me personally, was very significant, because part of my testimony was that I was using drugs, I was selling drugs, I was anesthetizing the pain of my life. And most people today are doing the very same thing, and the world calls it by a different name. They call it an addiction. Well, you're addicted to this, you're addicted to that. No, that's the spirit that is influencing you to do the things that you do. When you come to the realization and know that you are anointed, that anointing has set you free. You are capable of breaking that addiction because Christ has anointed us to do that. We just haven't been able to reconcile that truth to our minds. Okay? That's why we do Romans 12, 1 and 2. The truth is, Jesus has set us free. And if he has set us free, we are free indeed. Amen? So we're free. To the degree we're reconciled to Jesus. Today I would like to describe what an ambassador is. The message that we're charged with and how others see that truth when we present it to them. We must constantly remind ourselves that we're in this war. We are actively in a spiritual war. It is not a shooting war, but this warfare is even more real than what we realize. And it breaks out into our physical existence. We see this warfare. And it is a warfare of dominion. And this dominion has been given to Jesus. This world is His. We are His ambassadors, and we are to go to all the world to tell people the truth. Remember last week I said that it was a part of the responsibility of the crew, that the king would send the crew to a city that he was going to conquer and first convince them this is the intentions of the king. And this is the intention of our king. He has sent us, he is sending us, and he will continue to send us to preach to them what he has done. His intention is to forgive us of all our sin. How we respond to that determines his actions. And one day, he is going to come, not as the Lamb of God, but as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And as King, he has the right to pronounce judgment upon this world, or as we call it, the city, and all who have refused him will be judged. Now you may say, well, what about those people that haven't heard? Read your scripture. God has revealed himself to all men at all times. He will judge them according to their understanding. We are to go and preach this gospel of Jesus Christ to people to tell them their time is short. There is a way of escaping eternal damnation. There is a means in which our King is delaying this, but he will not forever delay what he intends to do. And when that day comes, and when all we have to do is read Revelation, read Daniel, and see what the king says. We are living in those days when the king could come at any time. What are we to do? The spirit of Antichrist is manifesting through the indoctrination of incorrect world views. Incorrect world views. Because those world views do not line up with God's world view. And if our worldview is even an ounce of what the world is, we need to repent and get right before God. Because it is His worldview that counts. He's against incorrect worldviews, belief systems, and shared attitudes that are propagated by humanism, socialism, materialism, consumerism, and New Age spiritualism. That's a mouthful of saying that's the Antichrist. This is Antichrist's world, so he thinks. And the spirit of Antichrist is propagated through these isms, which are all contrary to God. You may say, well, what about Judaism? That's legalism. They know God through the law. But they don't know God as we know Him. We know Him through love. We have two rules that He has given us. Love the Lord God with all your might, soul, strength, and power. And love each other as He loves us. Two rules. We can do that. And we do. We try to live what we say. We need to know what the message of the king is. We have to settle within ourselves what that message is and reconcile to conform to the message before we can ever preach it. That's the truth. If you're going to preach something and not live it, God will deal with you. I won't, you know. I may say to you, that's incorrect, and this is what the scriptures say, to try to keep you on the straight and narrow. But God will have his way, period. So what is this message? As an official representative, we are charged with declaring the king's message to all of his intentions. His intentions right now is that no man should perish, but all come to repentance. That's the truth. We have rebelled. I have rebelled. I have done things in my life that does not line up with the king and why I was created. And guess what? So have you. We can. We're at different stages and different levels of maturity. Some of us are brand new babes. Some of us are tired drinking the milk, and so we're studying the word to show ourselves approved. I call that being a student. Or we're mature. Understand the message. Live the message. And actually preach it once in a while. The church sadly does not get this. They don't understand. And I'm talking about the leaders do not understand that we're not to control you. We're to release you. You are to be out of control. Radical for Jesus. No matter what goes on, no matter how we look, our message has to be what we live and what we declare. Jesus did that, and, you know, people were confused. What's he talking about? Why is he this way? Why does he do this? Why does he break the law? Why does he, you know, he did everything to show them that religion kills. The law is good, but to love is better. Think about that. I get the privilege of loving you. It is a privilege. I don't want any of you to think, oh my God, I gotta hide this from Pastor. I'm past that point. I just want to love you. I just want to be able to share what Jesus is doing and showing you that that's not really good. You know, it used to be years ago, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I mean, they used to have the little bracelets to remind you, which I thought was kind of dumb. That should always be in our heads, but some of us wore those things. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond to you in your present condition? You see, you are an ambassador, whether you realize it or not. You represent the king. And the king will use your life, no matter where you are in life, to reach people, to tell them. A newborn babe doesn't know any better, still does the things that really constitutes direct care and a lot of concern. But as a student, we learn. We begin to implement those things. We want people to see, not to see or determine how smart we are about the Bible, because it's never been how much you know about the Bible. It's about how much the Bible knows about you. Really. You know, you read the scriptures. I think it's in Ezekiel when he was commanded to eat the scroll. Is the word living in you? I know guys who can quote scriptures back and forth, left and right, and never lined up with what they were illustrating. Proves my point. And they were pastors. I wouldn't say a word. It's not my place to judge another of the king's servants. I just pray for them.
Like we should do. And I thank you for praying for me. We need to understand this gospel in these last days, because people are equating the gospel to a religious activity. My granddaughter thinks I'm religious. Am I religious? Where's Nolan? Nolan, what have I said to you to do when I start becoming religious? Absolutely. Get rid of me. I want the Spirit of God to rest here, and I want you to be free, and I don't put any laws on you except to love. To love each other. And that's what the world needs. And it needs to see a people that are madly in love with their king. And irregardless of how we do stupid things, we can love you through it. And we try. I mean, Miss Holly, she loves me, and I do a lot of stupid things. So what is this message? The first point, and I want you to write this down, because if you don't know what the message of the gospel is, how are you going to conform to it, and how are you going to be able to convey it to the next person? One, the kingdom of God has arrived. John 18:36 says, get glasses like I do. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest, for I the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. This kingdom that we are to associate, live and die for is a spiritual reality. This reality is more real than the physical existence that we have here, because the spiritual influences the natural. Okay? And the best way to do that is, why do you do the things that you do that would seem contrary to other people? It's just a good way of thinking. Jesus' kingdom is divine. Jesus' kingdom is spiritual. He is a king of all, including the physical realm. He has set us free from the effects, influences, and digressions of this world to be his people. Amen? And all of us who say Jesus is Lord understand that we're not just saying these words. This is our reality. Right? Two, repent. Repentance, well, let me give you the scripture. This is Mark 1:15. It says, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Where is the kingdom? It's near. It's us. It's him. Repent and believe the good news. Repentance is not saying I'm sorry. That's like a little kid getting his hand caught in a cookie jar. But he's really not sorry, because he's going to figure out another way to sneak that cookie without you knowing it. Repentance is a change in mindset that reflects a change in lifestyle. That's repentance. Does that fall into your theology? It should, because that's the reality of this message. Every time the Holy Spirit brings something to our attention that is contrary, we need to repent. If we have offended someone, we need to repent and ask forgiveness. Well, what if that person has died? Repent. God is about your heart.
He's not about whether we make these relationships good and we continue on being evil. He's about us living what we preach. Repentance is not a one-time thing. It is a lifestyle. It's constantly going on. I repent just about every day. I repent to my Father because I fall short of the mark. I repent to Him that I'm not as loving as I should be. I repent to Him that I still do things that are in disobedience to Him. Yes, I still do things. Until I'm taken out of Hotel 6, I'm stuck with this. But I have the Holy Spirit to teach me. And if I do it, I want to encourage you to do this also. Jesus wiped away our sins by paying for the price on the cross. We could not pay for them. But that doesn't mean that we're dealing with sin issues in our lives. That does not mean that He's done away with that at the cross. That's not what He's done. He did away with the cost associated with our sins to fulfill the Father's wishes on our behalf. And so our good news to people is you don't have to try to get yourself ready for Jesus. Clean yourself up. Oh, Jesus doesn't want me as I am, so I'm going to clean myself up. How many of us have heard that? Well, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. But it's really true. People have an idea that if I just clean up my act, I can be acceptable to God. You're acceptable to God because He died on the cross. That's already done. You just need to receive His forgiveness. And as He begins to work in your life, you need to be obedient to what He's telling you to do. That's called conformity to the King's wishes. Or being reconciled to Him. And we have it for all our lives. And whatever Jesus is trying to get us to do, we don't seem to understand, nor do we seem to see how good that is for us. All we see is, well, I gotta stop doing this. I gotta stop smoking. I know there's people that are in here that are in various degrees of eradicating that scourge from their lives. I also know there are people I have never said to them they need to stop smoking. They need to hear what the Holy Spirit says and have stopped smoking. They didn't have to go to a clinic. They didn't need the world to tell them. What had happened was they were anointed to overcome this, and they allowed the anointing of God to break that habit, and in that habit, substitute something better. Be reconciled to God. 3, believe. John 3:14-18 says, and this is Jesus speaking, just as Moses was lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only, one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And we've seen football games in all John 3:16, all over the place. You know, we got to see the guy in the end zone. You know, he's in the stands. He's got, but this is what it says. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. The world is us. Do you not know that when He comes, He's going to destroy this world? That's what it says in Scripture. And He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. That word new means there's never been anything like this before. As awesome as we can think the cosmos is, God's got a better plan. Because that plan does not contain sin in it. He's eradicating everything. And He's starting over with us. You're chosen. Religious activity just doesn't cut it. We have many people who have come out of Catholicism, come out of this church, come out of that church. And when they are confronted with the truth of what is going on, they leave because they don't want to change. They're accustomed to their sin. They're comfortable in their sin. And not once have I said, well, you got to change. What I have said is the Holy Spirit will change you. Difference. I put it on his shoulders. Because he's still dealing with me. Do you believe in the name above all names? That belief system should direct everything of your life. I believe Jesus is my Lord. Therefore, he has the right to tell me how to run my home. Because in the kingdom, there are certain standards that he will not compromise. I must become reconciled to how he wants his kingdom to work. And so when I make suggestions to people, I really want you to go to this class. Why? Why? Well, because we want to manifest the kingdom here. And you're not in compliance with your kingdom. Whether it's your marriage, whether it's your finances, whether it's your relationship with Jesus Christ, whatever it is, we want the best for you. We see these things. We don't have to dictate these things to anybody. We want the best for you. I want the best for you. God wants the best for you. But if you don't want the best for yourself, if you already think you're in the best position, your belief system is wrong. I used to think that I could lord over my family. I used to think I could boss my wife around. I used to think all kinds of stuff. I was wrong. I had to repent. Every time that I got out of line, the Holy Spirit would lump my side of my head. I didn't tell you to do that. What he was doing was eventually teaching me what a servant leader is supposed to be all about. Did Jesus ever serve himself first? Never. I know, I've tried to find something to justify my position that I would be Lord. But he's Lord of Lords. He's big L, I'm little L. And so are you. And so, as the Holy Spirit's teaching me how to conform or reconcile myself to the kingdom, so must we become disciples of the truth of Jesus Christ. And we need to tell them out there every misconception that they have is a lie from the pit of hell. God wants the best for us. He wants the best for our families. He wants the best for our kids. He wants the best. And he will use the world. Doesn't the world, the scripture say that there is laid up for the righteous the treasures of the heathen? That includes education. That includes financing. That includes housing. That includes health insurance. That includes whatever you need. He will use that for your good. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. It's not me understanding your situation. It's you understanding what God is trying to do in your situation to improve your situation so that you can preach the gospel. I don't make many friends like that. You can smile, Tony. I don't. Because pastors, in their estimation, are supposed to be friendly. We're supposed to be lovely. We're not supposed to ruffle your feathers.
I'm a servant leader. It doesn't matter what I want. I had an individual call me yesterday. I was at a graduation party, and they were in need. And I said, well, I'm at a graduation party right now. And that person said, well, okay, I understand that. Click. Didn't give me a chance. Robbing me of a blessing. That's okay. They were thinking they had to solve this problem. So I load my stuff up. I put in my truck and I call this person and I said, look, you know, where is this that I can serve you to meet this need? Oh, the need's taken care of. I said, praise God. Thank you for calling back. Okay, no problem. I want to serve. But if you steal the opportunity from me, you and I are going to have words, whether it's on the cell phone or not. Believe. It is not a suggestion. It is a command. We are commanded to believe everything that we find in the Word of God, which is true. It's impossible for God to lie. Well, it was written by 66 men. So what? God is eternal. He's used various men to convey His truth for our understanding, so that we may learn to rightly divide the word of truth and become accomplished disciples. Are we not all disciples? We are. We're His disciples. We have to also understand that God regenerates us when we believe. Every time we believe the truth of the gospel, we become more powerful. Because that belief system is energized. More and more of our spirit is becoming strengthened. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How does He strengthen me? By revealing the truth to me, to set me free, to give me the strength that I need to overcome. Are we not overcomers? Read Revelation. See the prizes that we get for being an overcomer. I could list them, but I don't have time. Next step is become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's good news. I don't have to live in the stinking cesspool of life. He has lifted me out of that and brought me to stand on the curb looking at this junk going by. You're a new creation. If you think contrary to the gospel, which is what He's trying to do, He's trying to re-educate you to the truth of the gospel so that you can live the gospel. Why is it that addicts, and it's 72% of the addicts have relapses. Why? Are they getting treatment? They don't believe. They don't believe. I was talking to an individual who was telling me, well, I've been sober for 90 some days. I said, that's great. That's awesome. What about tomorrow? He says, what do you mean? I said, are you preparing your way for tomorrow? Because you only have one day at a time. You can relapse any time. If you focus on today and look to tomorrow, that's hope. Faith is now. I believe now that I have conquered, that nothing that the enemy would throw against me has the opportunity to prosper, because the anointing breaks the yoke. I am set free.
The truth is, Jesus died on the cross, set me free. He has empowered me to overcome every obstacle. How many of you talk like this? I guess I'm the only one. You need to start talking like this. You need to, when I say rightly dividing the word of truth, that's using the right scriptures for the right circumstances at the right time. God shall supply all my needs according to Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? I do. I watch him do it all the time. How many of us, and I've used this story, how many of us have been down to our last couple bucks? And someone has come to us. Great. Well, we should all have experienced this. And a person says, can you lend me whatever? What should our response be? I can't lend you this, but I will buy this for you if I have this. Case in point was when I was young in the Lord and I was still working in my job. I went in the morning and I'd get a cup of coffee and I'd get a Wawa sandwich, you know, morning sandwich type of thing. And I'd get in my truck and I'd go on. And I had this guy and I recognized him. We used to call him Shell Shock because he was involved with howitzers, and everyone who's not aware of a howitzer, it's a cannon. And so what had happened, he was on the receiving end from the enemy dropping these bombs on, and of course, he got a little bunker. So he says to me, he says, can I borrow some money? And of course, all of us rush right in to serve him, right? No. And I went in, got my coffee, got my thing, and I was no more than half a mile down the road, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to return and I want you to buy this person what he needs. So I go back, turn around, come back, and that person isn't there. And I am so distraught because, one, I can't find this person, and two, the Holy Spirit definitely spoke to me to do this, and I believe it was an angel. I believe it was an angel so that I could fail the test, so that Jesus could eventually change me. There isn't a day today that goes by that if someone wants something, we are never to give to them. We are to purchase for them. Because if you give it to them, they probably will not buy the thing that they need. But if you offer, I'll buy it for you, and they'll tell you, no, I really don't want to do that. You will find out what their intentions are. You're a new creation. This means that being a new creation is not, we are not reformed, we are not rehabilitated, we are not re-educated. We are newly recreated. We are new beings. What we are to be, no one has seen yet. If I'm not rehabilitated, which means I just put patches on old things. If I'm not re-educated and I just try to do patchwork on the way I think about stuff. And if I do things that doesn't reconcile me to God, that's still maintaining the old way of living. We're new creation. Our selfish and self-centered lifestyles are slowly being killed on a cross. And we need to understand that Jesus is King. And so every time I hear you don't understand, you may want to rephrase that, because I don't want to understand your position. I want to understand Jesus' position. And I want you to understand that too. All power and authority has been given to Jesus.
Who else has all power and authority? Everyone in Jesus. He is the head. We are the body. Right? The head gets to tell the body what direction it goes, how to function, how to do certain things. It's called reconciliation. Mind you, this is fantastic. These are new things that are happening in our lives? Absolutely. Because you can't preach a gospel, a partial gospel, without hypocrisy. If you are a new creation, there's no hypocrisy. All you're doing is absorbing everything that the kingdom has to offer. Because that's a new life. There are only two types of people in the world. Not male and female. I just told you that's not the answer. Those in Christ and those without Christ. And that's how we have to start thinking. Those who are without Christ, we want to bring them into Christ. Those who are in Christ, we want to encourage more and more conformity to the kingdom, to the king's request. But the reality is there's only two people in here. And I say with much chagrin, you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts. Because we're conforming to the world when really we need to have the world conform to Jesus. Like I said, I don't make many friends preaching this way, but I don't care. I'm representing the king. Next, you must forsake your old ways. Hebrews 12:1-3 says, therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We have to understand that war is not clean. We are fighting everything that's still contained within our flesh. This is why Paul said, no good thing dwells in me because it dwells in my flesh. So we're fighting this. We are spiritual people having our minds renewed, and we're entrapped in a body of sin. This is why Jesus said, you know, when we come into his kingdom, he'll provide a mansion for you. I'm going to have a new body with long, blonde hair. My sister reminds me of Abba. The group Abba. There was that. Yeah, Mamma Mia, yeah. We each have a race to run personally. And that personal race that we run has to bring us into conformity to the king and his wishes. Every time that we conform, we get stronger and stronger. Paul said, you know, every day my old man, my flesh, dies, but my man inside gets stronger and stronger. And it's true. How many of us, and I'm at that stage of life where we start bellyaching about our aches and pains and stuff. You know, we wake up. You know, when I was taking down the Christmas lights, I fell off the ladder and it's been 6 months. I still have some pain. I can go 3 or 4 days without having to take an Aleve or something like that. I'm finding out that this body is not cooperating and reconciling immediately. And so I have these aches and pains. But I don't give in to the aches and pains. I don't let those things dictate to me, to inhibit me, from doing what the king has told me to do.
I know people, oh man, I just have a headache. I can't make church tonight. Okay. Okay. You know, I just couldn't get out of bed. I was so tired. Okay. I'm not the one you got to answer to. What's the truth? You got to answer to the King. He's in charge. So am I, but what you will get is something contrary to what you're accustomed to do. I won't poo-poo activity that is contrary. I don't poo-poo it. I don't look to Irene and say, I feel sorry for me because I'm sore. She just says, suck it up, bucko. Let's go. So I don't get it. And neither should you. You should not capitulate to that. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he counted all joy to die for us, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If Jesus didn't give into it and he looked at all joy, the little things that we're going through don't amount to a hill of beans compared to dying. And all of us will experience that one time in our life. Says the word. The word says, it's appointed for men to one time to die and then to judgment. One time to die. You're either going to die and be totally separated from God and his love and all the good stuff for eternity, or you're going to die one time in this life and enjoy eternal bliss. That's really how it goes. What we have learned is before we came to Christ is now done away with. All things are made new. That's our previous life. That's how we used to. And we need to learn to discern the difference between what was and what is to be. We should spend as much time getting to know the Lord, his plans for us, and walking out this new relationship every day than complaining about it. Living the message. I want to sum this all up. It is the utmost importance that we understand that we are all not at the same level. Some of us have been committed to Jesus Christ, but we have not lived a lifestyle like it. I would consider you're still babes. You have to learn. You have to start changing your life in such a way that it conforms to the kingdom. And never proceed more than where you're at in life and sharing with people the good news. Share it. You know, one day God's going to judge the world. That is a definitive. One day, he's going to recreate all this. And God wants us to be with him. Do you want to be with him? I recently gave my life to him. And now he's changing my life. That's all you need to say. That's the gospel. Those who are students wanting to know more than the sincere milk of the word, which, you know, people just read the Bible, are able to start studying the word. See what God says about everything. Start looking at this, and you will start learning to rightly divide his word. Because his words are filled with little nuggets that were to find truth to change us. And part of that is, you know, we're studying something and all of a sudden we come across a scripture and it jumps up at us. That's the Holy Spirit bringing truth to us. Well, I've read this 20 times. Now this makes sense. Yeah, you're on the right path. Those of us who have, you know, I've walked with Jesus for 34 years. I've never been a chapter verse type of guy. I can't tell you, but the Holy Spirit brings these scriptures out. I just live them. How ridiculous it'll be if like, yeah, you know, God's done this in my life, and I quote a scripture, and I say, wow, isn't that great? They'll look at us like, man, you're nuts. But if we just live in accordance to what God says to do, it makes a greater impression upon people that when we interact with them, we don't have to interact religiously with them. We just interact with them supernaturally. This is how God did it. Well, you know, we have an evangelistic program today, and I want everyone to participate. We're all going to go into Father's fields, and we're going to witness to people. How many of us have been part of that? We all have. Jesus' way is go in the fields and just talk with people who want to interact with you. And you will know who it is who's interested and who isn't interested. That's okay. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him and his message. You go and you pray for them. And if we're all praying for people, guess what? He ain't got a chance. Prayer is powerful. Transcends distance, transcends time. And that's what God wants for his people, that we should be a people that pray. His word changes us by presenting the truth, to change the way we think, to change the way we have habits. We start questioning areas of our lives that are not aligning. But those of us who mature have an opportunity to teach new babes, share from our experience and what the scriptures say, but also to be an example to others. We're not perfect, but we're trying to live this gospel in our own personal lives. And when we mess up, we repent. It's that simple. You're not supposed to kneel down and go crawl through glass and all this other nonsense. Give me 20 Hail Marys and you're good. You're not tithing? Well, you can't be in this church. Get out of here. It's legalism. Let God speak to your heart. Yes, he has standards, but he's also full of grace and mercy. We need to conform our lives to the message to make it easy for them who still have not heard and believed the good news. You may be the only Jesus Christ. I may be the only Christ example for them. I don't want them to stand before the Father and say, I didn't hear. I didn't see anybody living for you. I don't want the Father to say to us after that comment has been made, look at us and say, I told you. We're not going to be judged for judgment, but our rewards. Our rewards are going to be in heaven. What rewards do you have? What rewards does Jesus want to have you? Reconciliation to God, our part, reflects how faithfully we walk with Him each and every day. Conforming to ourselves to His wishes. For after all, He gets to tell us what to do. He's on the throne. We're not. Father, I've given them your word. Your message is real easy to hear. Your message is even easier to conform to. I ask, Father, that where they're at right now, you take them further, that they may be reconciled to you. May we love unconditionally. May we not just say we love you and hate our brother, because that's not you. May we love you as and love them as much as we love you. Help us to exemplify this each and every day of our lives until we come home to you. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would like prayer, we